I had. One week I had to go to work early in the morning, and the next week I had to go in the afternoon, and the next week it was early in the morning, and then it was in the afternoon, and I realized that God really didn't plan it that way. I was never settled on anything, never had a chance to adjust. I like God's way. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is the great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. That's the God I worship. One who appoints the moon for the seasons. The one wherewith who waters the hills. The one who just speaks, the earth trembles. That's my God. I hope that's your God too. I want to go to Zechariah chapter 12. I'm only going to read the first verse. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. He formeth the spirit of man within him. Source of that spirit that we have within ourselves is God. Do we appreciate that? Do we understand that every day of our lives? I want to go to John chapter 1. I'll read the first 14 verses. I think I'll read a little more than that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I like that word light. In the Bible, it has many applications. The word light means knowledge. It means that which illumines our spirit. Light. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And you know, we also are sent to bear witness of that light, each one of us. We show by our behavior, by what we say, by how we love, we show whether we have that light or not. And we show it to others. But John was to show that light that Christ was to come. And so I'll read on with verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And so I've read here that every man has a spirit from God. Now I read that every man has light. A spirit and light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If we believe. If we do more things than just believe, because I'm going to read on. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, born of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John bare witness of him, and crying, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. In this we receive that grace from God. And so he provided us light, gave us intelligence to understand things. He gave us knowledge. He gave us a way to learn things. And how do we use what he has given us? If we have faith in him, if we believe, if we practice what he has taught us to do, then we gain that understanding in the right way. If we go on our own, if we set out to prove what we think is right and take no notice of what he has taught us, we avoid that light, ignore it, we're going to go in the wrong direction. We're going to do things that will not bring us into his presence when all is said and done. I want to go to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'll read starting at verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, as Jeremiah, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctioned thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Wow. So Jeremiah, was Jeremiah anything special? Was he different from you and I? I don't think so. We all were formed in the womb, and he knew us before that occurred. And we're all ordained to something. We're ordained by the things that he has given us genetically, by the talents we will have, by the place where we're put, by the age in which we live. All these things are ordained for us. And so we are ordained. Now, Jeremiah was ordained a prophet unto the nations. I'll read a little bit more so you get a better idea of what that means. Then said I, this is Jeremiah saying it, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I thought about that. That is quite a picture. Will I go wherever he sends me? Will I accept the words he puts in my mouth? Will I use those words and not mine? Have I been ordained to something? Have I been sent? Of course I have. That's why I'm here. I've been sent. I've been ordained. And I bring you these words because I believe them. Am I afraid of your faces? No, I'm not afraid of your faces. You're my friends. I love you. There are faces I might be afraid of, but they're not here. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I hope that he has put words in your mouth too. When you needed it, when you had others to talk to, when you are a parent with a child who needed instruction, he put words in your mouth. When you were a spouse with a fellow spouse who needed instruction, he put words in your mouth. He's with us to do those things because we are called and we are ordained to something. This is what he said to Jeremiah. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So he had kind of a double job there, tearing things down and building things back up. Sometimes we have to do this in our lives and help others to do it in theirs, to tear down what's been put up and to put up in its place something that's better. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. Well, in Jeremiah's time, that's what he had to face. And he was instructing the people. But I want to skip a few verses here and pick it up again at verse 16. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. And I see here a danger, not just a danger for Jeremiah's time, but a danger for my time, to worship the works of my own hands, to have idols that take the place of God. And we're always in danger of that. We have things that we trust and believe in, and I guess we admire because they're ours. And we can do it to excess. But I'm going to skip down to verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Now, the they, of course, is his enemies. Do we have enemies in our lives? Yes, we certainly do. Some of them are not obvious enemies. Addictions, selfishness, idols, temptations, arrogance. Those are our enemies. Their enemies are within as well as without. The enemies within are the hardest ones to fight against. But he is with us, just as he was with Jeremiah. They shall fight against thee, but thou shalt not prevail. They shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Do you feel it? Do you know he's with you? Do you feel the deliverance? I do. Not all the time. But when I'm on the right track, when I'm doing what he wants me to do, I feel it. He's right there. He's with me. I want to go to 2 Nephi chapter 6, page 109. Start with verse 59. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. I was doing a little research yesterday. I thought I would just look into, bring up the web and see if I could find something about the prophecies of Daniel. And I did. There's a lot of stuff there about the prophecies of Daniel. Some of it I could hardly read. Some of it I had to buy, so I didn't go that far. But there was one lengthy treatise. Very learned treatise. It was full of references to history, references to other parts of the Bible. Obviously, somebody who was very schooled in all of this had written this paper. And it went on and on. And it was an attempt to prove that Daniel did not write the book of Daniel. It was an attempt to prove that, in fact, other people had written it after the fact. Therefore, that's why they got all the dates right. And it pointed out all of the mistakes in the book of Daniel, how he misinterpreted the names of kings and the age in which they lived, and on and on and on and on. But it was couched upon, it was built upon the energy and the knowledge of man, built upon the knowledge of man. It was just an attempt to disprove the prophecies that God has placed in that book for our understanding and our light. they were fighting against the light. They were fighting against the truth. They were fighting very hard, but they were a very learned and educated sounding piece of work. And I thought about this verse. When they are learned, they think they are wise, and they hearken not unto the counsel of God, for they set it aside, supposing they know of themselves. It was a great example of that. Wherefore, their wisdom is foolishness, and it profiteth them not, wherefore they shall perish. God doesn't say long sentences when he comes to that. They shall perish. Makes it pretty plain what's going to happen. But to be learned is good, if it so be, they hearken unto the counsels of God. And that is what we need to remember. Okay, learn all the things you're able to learn. Take on the knowledge that God has made it possible for you to take on. But don't get caught with, I know it of myself. Because we know nothing of ourselves. We know only what God has made it possible for us to know. I rented a movie. It's called The Horseman on the Roof. I'm not really suggesting that everybody will go with that because it's not easy to watch. It's set in the days of the great cholera epidemic of Europe. It's not pretty. Thousands of people died of cholera, a very difficult death, poisoned by bacteria in the water. And it swept through Europe and killed a very large percentage of the population. Men, women, and children, bodies were lying in the homes, not even removed. They were piled up and burned. The devastation encompassed many, many countries. But we don't have cholera epidemics now, do we? They're in places, but we know what cholera is, and we know what can stop it. Why? Because of optics. Because God made it possible for us to understand optics. What are optics? The grinding of glass to make lenses. Optics. Because we learned how to make lenses. Because we could see what was in the water. Because we knew how to purify the water. Because we knew what to do about the things that were there. But then, in the middle 1700s, they didn't know. We have been blessed. Do we have the bubonic plague? No. We know what to do about the bubonic plague. Do we have, I could give a long list of diseases that we don't have anymore that once devastated people all around the world. Why is this so? Because the light. We have received the light. We have knowledge. We have learned the things that God wanted us to learn. Why do I say that? Because only from God do we get the intelligence to do these things. He permits us to learn these things. He has given us the ability to investigate and the urge to learn and the urge to discover. And so as the ages have gone by, we have learned things that have made life easier for us. So where does that put us with God? We have more responsibility to God. That's where it puts us. More responsibility. Do you feel it? Do you know what it is? I'll read on in verse 62. But woe unto the rich, which are rich as to things of the world, for because they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures, wherefore their treasure is their God. That's an idol. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And woe unto the deaf that will not hear, for they shall perish. And woe unto the blind that will not see, for they shall perish. He's not talking about deaf, unable to hear. He's talking about unwilling to hear. He's not talking about blind, unable to see. He's talking about unwilling to see. Woe unto the uncircumcised of heart, for a knowledge of their iniquities shall smite them at the last day. Woe unto the liar, for he shall be thrust down to hell. Woe unto the murderer who deliberately killeth, for he shall die. Woe unto them who commit whoredoms, for they shall be thrust down to hell. Yea, woe unto they that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delighteth in them. And in fine, woe unto all they that die in their sins, for they shall return to God and behold his face and remain in their sins. Do you ever think about that? No matter what you do in life, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what becomes of you, the day will come when you will die and you will return to God and behold his face. And if you haven't taken care of your sins, you will remain in your sins. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Everybody familiar with this? In my Bible, it's got a title. It's called The Christian Virtues. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Yes, you are called, just like Jeremiah. You are called in one body. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You heard the announcement here this morning that there is going to be a choir practice, the choir that will present at the conference. And they will sing beautifully, and their songs will admonish each of us. It's a way in which we do this. A beautiful way in which we do this, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We do this. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, that means everybody who works for somebody else. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that if of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You serve Christ. You serve Christ. If you are a wife and submit yourself to your husband and do things that are fit in the Lord, if you are a husband and love your wife and are not bitter against him, you're serving Christ. If you're a child and you obey your parents, you are serving the Lord. If you are someone who works for somebody else and you do this well and not as a men pleaser, but with singleness of heart, fearing God, you're serving Christ. Serving Christ. Don't we want to be a servant of Christ? I do. I mention it in my prayers, sometimes with tears, because I know that I don't always serve him or serve him well anyhow. I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I will start at verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he sent up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Yes. Do we speak the truth in love? That's how we grow. We speak the truth in love. We grow up on even to be like Christ. Why do we have the ministry? What's so great about them? They're listed here, but here's what they're for. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is my job. That's the job of your ministry, all of them. And I tell you, if we're not doing this, if you don't see this in us, you'd better be telling us about it. You'd better let us know, because we all want to serve. We want to be servants of God. And we need to know if we're really accomplishing these things. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. I like that. That's a description of the Church of Christ. I hope it applies in this very congregation, that we are a body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. So what is every part? You. Each of you is a part. Every part supplies something to this church. Every part. Nobody is just a bystander. We all belong here, joined together and compacted and supplying. That's what we're supposed to do. Alvin mentioned the men's breakfast. I was there. It was wonderful. We had presented to us an idea for a men's service organization. And there was a show of hands, and almost all the hands went up. Every one of us wanted to be joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. We felt that desire to do that. And I sure hope it carries through. So guys, you've been put on notice. And we've been put on notice. I raised my hand too. So this is our task, to be some of those joined together, to supply, to make an increase of the body, to the edifying of itself in love. That is our task. I want to go to page 351, Alma, chapter 10. I'll start with verse 27. And now, my brethren, Alma is talking to his people. They aren't all cooperative at this time, but he's telling them how it is. And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even with pain, that ye would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins. and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name and watch and pray continually, that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your hearts, that ye may be lifted up at the last day and enter into his rest. May the Lord grant you unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down his wrath upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. And it came to pass that Alma spake many more words unto the people, which are not written in this book. And it came to pass that after he had made an end of speaking unto the people, many of them did believe on his words and began to repent and search the scriptures. So his words were not lost on all of them. Some of them accepted what he said. It struck them to the very depth of their soul, and they did believe on his words, and they began to repent and search the scriptures. I think those two instructions apply to us, to repent and to search the scriptures, because that's where we find the truth. Repent and search the scriptures. Have we applied that in our lives on a regular basis? Led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Like I read earlier, God has given each of us that Spirit. He's given us that light. We all have that. We all can do this. We all can be led by the Holy Spirit. We can believe and we can repent and we can search the Scriptures. Let's go now to page 648. I'll start with verse 12. Jesus is in the midst of the people. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought. So they brought their little children and sat them down upon the ground around about him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way till they all had been brought unto him. I know that we've read this many times. I can picture this. I can see Jesus. I can see the children brought and seated around him. And it's a beautiful picture. Sometimes I can't get through this without tears. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. Well, why would he be troubled about that? Well, they had crucified him, that's why. They had rejected his message. He had stood and said, I would gather you like a hen gathers her chickens, but you won't do it. They wouldn't listen. That's why he was troubled. And when he had said these words, he himself knelt upon the ground, and behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written, and the multitude did bear record, which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. Now we're getting like this is the report of what they heard. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. Can you imagine how beautiful that would be if Jesus were here and he prayed for us? What an experience. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude, they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth. And he saith unto them, blessed are ye because of your faith. And now, behold, my joy is full. And when he had said these things, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. Because of your faith, my joy is full. Now, I want you to remember, if you're familiar with this reading, this is the third book of Nephi, what is in the fourth book of Nephi? In the fourth book of Nephi, it tells what a beautiful thing they had created because of him. They had all things common. They had no classes among them. They lived in perfect peace. And there were, it says they were. There was never a happier people ever on the earth. Those were these children that he prayed for one by one. That's the society that they built. Because of your faith, my joy is full. Would that Jesus would be here and say that to us today. Because of your faith, my joy is full. I would like to make his joy full, wouldn't you? By our faith. Because of our faith. Because we had enough faith to put away selfishness and arrogance. Because we had enough faith to have the love that he had for us, for each other. Because of our faith that we cast off sin. That we grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That we know what God has given us and make use of it for the furthering of his kingdom, that we trust that our enemies will be beaten because he's with us, because God's will is our will because of that. His joy would be full. I know it. I know his joy would be full. And he formeth the spirit of man within him. And it's ours to have. Thank you. God bless you.